And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
It's one of the most difficult and challenging jobs, especially during a pandemic. The job of a census enumerator, going house to house, knocking on doors. More so than not, no one answers. If they're lucky, someone will answer.
Do you have a few minutes that we can complete your 2020 census?
Still, that's not a guarantee. That resident will then answer questions to be counted. The job of counting Americans is lonely, but the importance of it is what inspires census workers. That's because getting an accurate tally of the country's residents is critical to local communities receiving much-needed federal dollars. At stake in Arizona is an estimated $675 billion in federal money to support schools, roads, Medicare, Medicaid, and other public services and programs. An undercount means a loss in federal funding. Traditionally, it's been difficult getting Latinos counted in the census. Right now, Tucson Southside is in jeopardy of losing out on that future federal aid, all because residents are lagging in responding to the 2020 census. In honor of Hispanic Heritage Month, let's learn more on the importance of the census and how we can make sure we are all counted, including our family, friends, and neighbors. Good morning and welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. My goal is to give voice to Hispanics by bringing diversity into the conversation. Obviously, I do this through my weekly one-hour radio show, but there's two other very important ways we can give voice to Hispanics today, right in this very moment. One is to vote. Two is to be counted in the U.S. Census. So why is being counted so important? Because it gives the federal government a clear picture of who we are and what we need, from building new schools to new hospitals to new highways and much more. And as you can imagine, Latinos, Hispanics have historically been undercounted. By law, the government is required to count everyone living in the U.S. every 10 years. Let's find out how we can make sure we are all counted. My guest today is Maria Cardenas with the 2020 U.S. Census. She's in charge of the Southern Arizona region.
Maria, welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices.
Hi, thank you for the invitation.
Let's get started. How important is it for every single Latino Hispanic to be counted, especially in Tucson and surrounding communities?
Because remember, the census creates statistical data to let the federal government know where $675 million will be designated to the state, to the counties, to the cities, for federal programs including Medicaid, food stamps, schools, after-school programs, libraries, hospitals. It's too much money involved, and the census data will provide that information for the federal government.
What does this mean for Tucson?
Well, we need to fix the roads. We need to create more after-school programs for our students. We need to get better pay for our teachers. We need to get more library programs. And then now, during the pandemic, it's very important that Tucson gets the fair funding so we can keep creating programs, more parks, more ramadas for people to enjoy. And the census data will provide that information to bring those resources to our city.
And once again, everyone needs to be counted, because that could mean 600 and how many billions?
$675 billion in federal funding for the next 10 years each year.
Wow. What are the negative ramifications of undercounting Latinos or Hispanics?
Well, some people think that the census questionnaire is not confidential, but it is. The census is safe, it's easy, and it's confidential. It's in the Constitution that every single person living in the United States in the five territories, they have to be counted. So it is important that people to know that the census cannot share that information to any other agency, including ICE, Immigration, and any other agencies that create law.
In fact, the information is kept confidential for like 72 years, right?
Correct. It is in the Constitution that we need to keep the information locked in for the next 72 years. And also it said in the Constitution that us as an employees, we cannot share any of that personal information that identifies your household to anyone. We can face up to 5 years in prison. We can get $250,000 fine. So it's very sensitive for us.
Why do some residents fear being counted? And how do we overcome that fear?
I think a lot of the going into the community, when we do events and we do educational programs, a lot of the information the residents don't know. They don't know about what the census is. They don't know what the census means. They don't know why we have to do this. So once they understand and they see that it's a lot of funding, they do respond. I think a lot of that is because a lot of the information doesn't come in their own language. So there's some language barriers. So we are trying, as a Census Bureau, we're trying to identify those areas where we need to go and educate the community in their own language.
And how many enumerators do you have in Tucson or throughout Southern Arizona who are going door to door and who are trying to collect data?
Yes. We do have more than 800 enumerators through the whole Southern Arizona. And we also have people coming from the Los Angeles region and Washington to come and help out in Southern Arizona, including Pinal County, Santa Cruz County, Pima County, Cochise County, to make sure that we get those counts on time.
How difficult has it been? Are they doing pretty good right now? In collecting data?
They're pretty good. Yes, they are. But there are some people, they still don't open the door. You know, historically, Tucson is one of those cities that doesn't like to open doors to federal employees. But I think we have been done a very good job educating them and said, hey, if you don't want a census taker's visit, you can respond online, by phone, or just return the paper questionnaire.
Why do you think it is Tucson is one of those regions or one of those areas where people don't like answering the door?
I think it is because we do have a large Hispanic community, and sometimes we're kind of like, no, you know, last minute things. And when they see something happening and there are people there already at their door, they're like, oh, I got to do it. So they prefer to do it, you know, either by phone or by paper. But now, you know, in 2020, we have the they will have the opportunity to do it online. It takes 5 to 10 minutes, and it will impact the next 10 years of your community.
How rewarding is it for you personally to be part of the census and making sure everyone is counted because of all that federal funding that could help our communities?
Yes, and that's why I put so much emphasis, because personally, I'm a parent. You know, I'm a mother, so I want to make sure my daughter, she's the only one that I have left in public school, gets a fair education by having the resources available. And the census data will show the Department of Education to justify the need. Bottom line, the census will tell the government where is the need. So if we're complaining about, well, we need better pay, we need more computers, we need more digital learning, then the census will be a perfect opportunity for parents to make a difference on their children's life. I mean, we can start shaping our future, which is our kids, starting with the census. This is very critical now during the pandemic, that every single child in the United States and the 5 territories to be counted. Back, I'm just going to share something with you. In 2010, more than 1 million kids in the United States were not counted. Just make the math. Some studies say that each person is worth like almost $3,000 for the next 10 years. every year for the next 10 years. So if we miss five kids in one family, it's $150,000. That money is not coming to Tucson. It's going to go probably to Phoenix. It's going to go probably to Yuma if those cities show more need. And how they're going to show the need is by that census count. So it's very critical that every single kid, every single person living in the United States on April 1st needs to get count.
When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Maria Cardenas with the 2020 U.S. Census and discuss the citizenship question controversy that's also making it tough to count people in Arizona. In support of Tucson's Hispanic Voices, please make sure to support our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. Nova Home Loans, the best combination of rates, fees, and services since 1980. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney. She's an advocate for human rights. And theme music, composed by local guitarist Gabriel Francisco Romo.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
If you don't fill out your census online or by mail by October 31st, a census enumerator could come knocking on your door. Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. Did you know the first census was taken in 1790? Back then, census takers visited nearly every U.S. home. In honor of Hispanic Heritage Month, I'm dedicating this show on educating Latinos Hispanics on the importance of being counted, the future of our children and grandchildren, and the quality of their lives depends on making sure we have an accurate count of who we are and what we need. Let's continue our conversation with Maria Cardenas with the 2020 U.S. Census.
There was a huge political fight over whether a citizenship question would be asked. Could you please make it clear there is no citizenship question on the 2020 census?
Yes. The census will never ask you for your citizenship status or your immigration status. We don't want to know. That's not part of our mission, to know your immigration status. So we're not asking you for your citizenship, even if you're a refugee, a DACA student, or resident, or U.S. citizen. We need to count every single person living in the United States. So it is important that you know that also the census will never ask you for your Social Security number. We will never ask you for any donations, specifically for party, like political party, and also any financial information, including your credit card. We have seen situations where people are calling us to tell us, well, they're asking for this. That's not the census. So make sure if anybody comes to your home saying they were the census and they're asking you for this information, please report it to the agencies, and they will be able to handle. There are some ways to identify census takers, and they have a badge with their photo, their picture ID with their name and an expiration date. They have the watermark. They have a bag with the census logo, and they also have a phone with the Department of Commerce logo, which if you don't feel comfortable to feel that that's a census taker, you can call us 1-844-330-2020, and we can identify if that person should be around your area.
Say that number again.
It's 1-844-330-2020. That's the English line. I can tell you the Spanish one, too, if you want to.
Sure.
The Spanish one is 1-844-4. 8th, 2020.
What are some of the other questions a census will never ask a resident?
Well, the citizenship, the social security number, any financial information, any credit card information. The questionnaire is only 9 questions. We ask you for your name. We ask you for your telephone number in case that we need to reach out to you. And some of the questions are not defined or clear. We also ask you for your race, for your ethnicity, for your sex, and then how many people live in your household on April 1st. Then you will be able to identify each person and how they are related to you. That's all we ask. It's only 9 questions and your name, and it's very easy and fast.
Why does the census ask if people in the household are related?
Because we want to, it's for creating a statistical data. Remember, like, we need to know, is either Hispanic, other white, other black, because that will help the census to identify the need depends on the race or the ethnicity. So it's very important that, we make sure who are the people that are living in your household on April 1st.
And how does the census make sure people are not counted more than once?
Oh, we do have a large quality control program that will allow us to identify when there's a double count. So we rather have double counts because we do have the ability to check. And that's why it's important the telephone number and said, hey, we got a count from you in Michigan, and then we got another one in Tucson. Which one is the one that, where you're staying on April 1st? And then also, it will help us to, when people don't get count, there's no way to identify them. So we prefer to get doubles than nothing.
Does that happen a lot?
Not a lot. I think a lot of it is because we have been educating the community for a long time. I mean, I started in March of 2019 with this program, so it's been more than a year that I've been able to educate the families in English and Spanish about why the census is important and how the process was going to be.
Since 1970, the census questionnaire has asked about ethnicity and whether or not the individual is Hispanic. Explain why that is relevant today.
Oh, because we're the largest ethnicity, fast-growing in the United States. I mean, we have over 30 million people living in the United States, and they're Hispanics, and most of them, they're able to vote, so it's growing, and I am so glad that the question is on the questionnaire. Why? Because we're making a difference in our community. People are seeing us, so we need to be visible.
How should you answer the race question if you're mixed Latino, Hispanic, and some other race?
I would say because we still don't have the specification there. People, when they ask me, I always tell them to put other, and then put either Mexican, Guatemalan, Honduras, or República Dominicana. Why? Because the more answers we get like that, maybe in 2030, there will be a consideration on utilizing us under race, and next time, race will be under Latino, Hispanic.
What does your day look like right now?
Ooh. crazy. We actually, right now, we're doing a lot of the mobile questionnaire assistance event, which I take census workers with their tablet ready to help residents into towns, specifically the rural areas, to help them to answer the questionnaire directly with us. We have been working very hard in Pinal County, in Yuma County, in La Paz County, taking these workers to be available either outside of a food city or outside of a city hall or and the park, creating events so people can come and get a free raspado or snow cone or a paleta and then fill out the census questionnaire with us. Why? Because our system will update automatic, and then the census takers, which is the enumerators, will see that that specific address that probably already had in their list, it's already being completed. So it's like an extra help that we offering to the towns and cities to increase the self-response.
Here's more information on the U.S. Census. As of October 1st, according to the U.S. Census state-by-state reporting, 98% of Arizona's population has been counted, but that 2% could make a huge difference in millions of dollars in federal funding for health clinics, school lunch programs, and other critical services over the next 10 years. Right now, in Tucson, Southside residents are lagging in being counted. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Maria Cardenas with the U.S. Census and have more on the importance of being counted. In support of Tucson's Hispanic Voices, please make sure to support our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. Nova Home Loans, the best combination of rates, fees, and services since 1980. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney. She's an advocate for human rights. And theme music, composed by local guitarist Gabriel Francisco Romo.
Listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. Now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
The job of a census enumerator going house to house, knocking on door to door, hoping for someone to answer so they can be counted, is a difficult and challenging job, especially during this pandemic. Getting an accurate head count of the country's population, though, is critical to local communities, especially here in Tucson. At stake in Arizona is an estimated $675 billion in federal money that would go to support schools, roads, Medicaid and Medicare, and other public services and programs. An undercount means a huge loss in federal funding. Right now, Tucson's South Side is in jeopardy of losing out on lots of future federal aid. That's because residents are failing to respond to the 2020 U.S. Census. Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. The census, which takes place every 10 years, also determines how many representatives each state gets in Congress and how billions of dollars in federal funding get spent. Tucson will either gain or lose federal funding for schools, roads, Medicaid, and Medicare, depending on the official population count. Let's continue our conversation with Maria Cardenas with the 2020 U.S. Census.
How challenging has it been for enumerators to count people and get an accurate count, especially during this pandemic, when no one wants to answer the door, no one wants you to come over, no one wants to see another person?
And that's why it was very important to push the self-response. You know, for the first time in the history of the United States, people can do it online, people can do it by phone, and they can do it actually, traditionally, return the paper questionnaire. So our push, our mission was to increase the self-response. What it means is that people can do it on their own, in their comfort of their home, and skip or stop the visit of a census taker. Why? Because, like I said before, historically, Tucson doesn't like to open doors to federal government. Through the pandemic, even worse. Nobody wants to see anybody coming into their home or even knocking on their door. So, you know, they still have a chance to go to www.2020census.gov and complete the questionnaire online, and then they will skip the visit. That way the census taker will see it. Oh, this is completed. Okay, I'm going to the next one. So it's very vital and critical that people, you know, do it on their home. And that way, you know, like I said, they don't have to get a visit from anyone.
I know we talked about this earlier, but I do want to make it clear. Once someone is counted and their information is collected, how safe should people feel about the Census Bureau protecting their private information?
Yeah, people even tells me. So I submit my questionnaire. Is there any way I can go back to my questionnaire to make changes? No. Once the questionnaire goes in and you get a confirmation number, it goes into our data collection and you're not able to track it down because it goes directly to the file. So if you need to make modifications, then you have to, like I said before, it's better to get doubles than none. So let's say you miss my grandma was staying with me on April 1st and I forgot to add her, then you can create a whole new questionnaire, and then we might call you and say, okay, what happened here? Which one is the right one? The one before or the new one? So, you know, that information is very safe. We do have, you know, it's in the Constitution that we cannot share any of the information with anyone, not even with my cousins or my neighbors or anything like that, about, you know, your household, your address. You know, it's 5 people living there, but there's 10, sometimes there's 10 people, or, you know, the rental contract says 5 people, but they're living 10. We cannot say any of that information. All we do is collect data to create a statistic.
Can one person answer questions on behalf of other family members? For example, if you knock on the door, can that one person answer questions for all other members within that family?
As long as they're 18 and older, anybody living in their household should be able to answer. But remember, it's one person representing the household because we're counting households. We're not going by a specific person living in the house.
Gotcha.
We're going for a specific address.
How accurate is the census?
It's very accurate. We do have the census takers right now going out door to door for those they haven't responded. Right now, the city of Tucson have a 64.8 of self-response. What I mean, 64.8% of the Tucson population have done it on their own. So in order for us to get 100% count, we still need 35.2% with the enumeration, means in-person enumeration. So, you know, we still hope that Tucson is able to increase this percentage and have less visits to residents.
So far, where are the numbers at right now in Tucson as far as those responding?
Yes, the south of the city of Tucson, including Ajo Way all the way to Los Reales, and then from Carnal all the way to Avernon, that area, that specific area, which is zip code 85756, 85706, 85746, they're low. They're not even 50% on self-response. What it means is that we need to send more enumerators towards that way to help people to complete the census.
And those zip codes you just mentioned happen to be a high-density population or area where Latinos live, right?
Correct. But this is not a surprise for us. It happens in 2010. It happened in 2000. It happened in 1990. So it has always been like that. So that's why it's very critical that this information comes to people through local businesses, local radios, local newspapers that are able to promote, you know, the census and let people know this is safe. This is important. You know, it's easy. And it's confidential. You know, it takes 5 to 10 minutes to complete. Do it now. It's for the future of our community. It's for the future of our children. You know, it's for our future of having better highways. It's for the future to have maybe another hospital. And then also, too, it will help to maybe gain another seat in the congressional section. So, you know, the census create data so important that pretty much the census, like I said before, would let the government know. Tucson has a need for more roads, for more libraries, for more hospitals, for more schools, for more money funding into our schools. So here it is. But the only way the government will disseminate the money is by the census count.
So Latinos, Hispanics, if you're listening out there and you're in one of those zip codes, please make sure you are counted for all of the reasons that Maria just mentioned.
Yes. Please do it now. It's very easy. Like I said, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, and it will make an impact for the next 10 years of your household, of your children, of your community, or of your city, or your county and your state. So we need those counts to be complete in the city of Tucson so we can get our fair funding to create and sustain more of the federal programs. During the pandemic,
and that's $675 billion that could be funding programs, schools, roads, hospitals in our community over the next 10 years.
Yeah. Only on the Tucson Unified School District, the superintendent was saying that TUSD almost missed $28 million every year because of people not getting counts. How can the Department of Education withstand funding to Tucson Unified School District when they only have registered, let's see, 500,000 students, but the census count only shows 300,000 students? So they're only sending money for 300,000. So what do we do with the other 200,000? We still need to provide them with fair education, but there's no funding available. So the census will provide that information to the government so they can send the money to us.
And $28 million, especially in public funding, especially in public education, here in Arizona, is a big, big deal.
Yes. So get counted. Don't be invisible.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez. We'll be right back. And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices with Steve Nunez.
Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. In Arizona, the census count could mean an estimated $675 billion in federal money to support schools, roads, Medicaid, and Medicare, and other public services and programs over the next 10 years. But an undercount means a loss in this federal money. And right now, Tucson's Southside is in jeopardy of losing out on future federal aid, all because residents are lagging in responding to the 2020 census. It is time to be counted. Let's continue our conversation with Maria Cardenas with the 2020 U.S. Census.
Explain how the census is actually required by the Constitution.
Yes, it is mandated in the Constitution that every single person needs to be counted. It's under the Title 13 that says we cannot share any of the information with any other agency. So, you know, even in Mexico, they do have a census. You know, some of the people that, you know, they used to live in Mexico, we used to have these little stickers say censado means contado, means counted. So we're not the only country that is doing this. There's so many things in the game, including the funding, that is in risk of losing if we don't get counted. So just remember, when you were in Mexico, you know, you were also counted. So it's nothing new. It's being in place in 1790. So just do it, like I said, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and it will make the impact for the next 10 years of your life.
What are other options? And I know you mentioned it earlier, for a census survey. How easy is it to log online and fill out the census form?
Yeah, it's 2020census.gov, K-O-V, like Victoria. and it takes you directly to the questionnaire. So remember, on Monday, October the 5th, will be the last day to log in on 11:59 Eastern Time to be able to complete the questionnaire online or by phone. If we do get counts on paper, you know, they have to have a date marked on the envelope on October the 5th. So if you're one of those that likes to fill out forms, do it today so we can make sure that we get the counts on time. If you're one of those that is fast learner and you want to do it online or by phone, you know, 2020census.gov or 1-844-330-2020. And then the Spanish is 1-844-468-2020.
And once again, explain the importance of being counted and how it determines federal funding to benefit our communities.
Yes, it's about $675 billion that the federal government disseminates every single year for the next 10 years to the state, to the county, to the cities for a specific federal program. Some of these programs are food stamps, unemployment, Medicaid, which is access, the medical access, libraries, roads, hospitals, fire department, parks, senior programs, and the list goes on. It's almost 107, I believe it is, programs that they get funding through the census count. So it's very important that the federal government disseminate this money to our city of Tucson and we can show that there's a need of this funding.
Maria Cardenas, thank you for being my guest on Tucson's Hispanic Voices. You are always welcome on this show. Good luck, and I hope you count everyone in our region so we can make sure to get the federal dollars we need for schools, roads, hospitals, and other programs. Bless your heart for all the hard work you are doing.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And remember, we cannot do it by ourselves. We need everyone's help on this. We only have a few days left, and we have been educating all the communities since last year. So remember, the census was going to finish on July 31st. But we extended because of the pandemic, so we're behind. So don't get left out. Get counted. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Steve. And yes, I would like to come back and maybe give you an update on the final responses.
That would be great. That way we can understand how important it is to be counted and what we can do to look forward to in regards to federal funding for all of those programs that you were talking about just a couple of minutes ago. So that'd be great to track that. And once again, Raza, if you live on the South Side, please be counted. Log online and count yourself, count your families, or inspire others to participate in the 2020 U.S. Census. Thank you, Maria.
Thank you so much and have a good day. Get counted.
Before we go, I'd like to promote a very important fundraiser to benefit assisted living for our loved ones that's happening today from 12:30 to 2:30 p.m. St. Luke's Home presents the Silver Chef Culinary Competition, a live virtual online show. Here to tell us all about it is Marie Reyna, Development Director at St. Luke's Home.
Welcome, Marie, to Tucson's Hispanic Voices.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Move Over Iron Chef. There's a new show in Tucson. It's called the Silver Chef Culinary Competition. Marie, break it all down for us on how this fundraiser event is going to work.
Well, this is a fundraiser event for St. Luke's Home. And what we're doing is we have five elite executive chefs of assisted living competing for the title of Silver Chef, which is a beautiful award, the bragging rights, and a $2,500 check. So our category this year is hors d'oeuvres, and we'll have five chefs, Eric Border from Hacienda at the Canyon, Jerry Montoya from Villa Elegante, David McGeehy from Copper Canyon, Selena Miramontes from St. Luke, Michael Lopez from The Forum at Tucson, all competing. And we will show a clip of them making their creation. And the live part is when it goes into the judges. We've got some fabulous local celebrity judges, and you will be able to see them taste it. There'll be the scoring. There's going to be a winner's choice raffle. And also we want our audience to be participatory. So we've created the opportunity for people to vote for the People's Choice Best Presentation. And it should be a lot of fun. I think everyone has pulled together in a really community-minded sort of way. We even have, you probably have heard of him, Dr. Melvin Hector from the University of Arizona in geriatrics. He's going to do, during our little intermission, a brief little talk about how do you have that talk? How do you know when it's time that you need assisted living or someone that you love might need assisted living? So it should be this wonderful combination of live and pre-recorded tidbits from the chefs and their communities. I think it's going to be very enjoyable.
And it's all virtual. So what does one need to do to view the Iron Chef competition and participate and or donate?
Oh, perfect. Well, thank you for asking that. the best way, I think, is you go on to St. Luke's website, which is www.stlukeshometucson.org/silver-chef. And the reason we're doing it that way is you look on there, you click on the link, and it automatically takes you to the event page. You can see everything, including the raffle prizes that the winner gets to choose from, and they're pretty great.
Now, the raffle prizes, viewers who log on to watch the show can also bid on those raffle prizes, correct?
Absolutely. So we have some really cool authenticated items for, say, Lute Olson basketball, signed by Lute, of course, our great coach from the U of A who recently passed, and beautiful jewelry. They've got beautiful jewelry. So there's all kinds of things that might interest someone.
Once again, we should mention the Lute Olson autographed basketball. Wow, that should be a hot ticket item.
I think it will be. I absolutely think it will be. And it comes with the book that he wrote and he signed. And so pretty exciting stuff.
Now, money raised will benefit St. Luke's Home. Tell us about some of the programs that will be funded and how this will benefit the elderly who are living there.
Well, you may or may not know, I don't know if your audience knows, that St. Luke's Home is a nonprofit that really caters to a specific niche population. So our elders are elders who can no longer live on their own, but economically, they fall into this little gap. In other words, they can't afford private care costs, but they're not sick enough or poor enough to go on to a government program, say Altex. Here in Arizona, it's Altex. So they can't do that. They can't do that because they don't qualify for it. Here's where St. Luke's comes in. So our population is frequently the essential workers of yesteryear. So your teachers, your nurses, ministers, veterans, we've got an engineer, people like most of us that for one reason or another can't, their retirement doesn't cover all the costs of assisted living. That's where I come in. That's where this fundraiser comes in. On average, for each person, we have about a $10,500 gap payment between what they're able to pay and what the cost of their care is. So we do these fundraisers or donations and grants to fill that gap, to make sure that elders who have given a lifetime of service and have been responsible citizens in our community, that they have compassionate care. Because I know that St. Luke's honestly believes that every elder deserves compassionate quality of life care, irrespective of financial means. And I think most people would agree with that. Most people would want their grandparent, their favorite coach, their mentor to be able to live out their lives in healthy satisfaction.
So the St. Luke's Silver Chef Culinary Competition takes place today from 12:30 to 2:30, and everyone who wants to can participate. They can donate, they can bid on prizes, and they get to see judges pick the Silver Chef winner.
Correct. And afterwards, we'll even be sharing those recipes.
Nice. That's a really cool idea to do it virtually online.
We had originally wanted to have the big tents and do all of that, kind of like our Tucson Meet Yourself. However, that's not safe at this time. And yet, there is the need for our community, and there's also just the need for people to have a little bit of fun. Because I think, I don't know about you, but I'm starting to feel a little bit of cabin fever.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Well, thank you for sharing your information on your event that's taking place today. Once again, from 12:30 to 2:30, all they have to do is log on to, give us the web address.
www.stlukeshometucson.org/silver-chef.
Good luck, and I hope
the
event goes extremely well, and you raise a lot of money.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. On behalf of all the elders and all the staff, St. Luke's Home, thank you so much for this opportunity. We're very, very grateful.
A final word on behalf of Tucson's Hispanic Voices. There are two very important things Latinos Hispanics must do if we want our voices to be heard. Vote in the November presidential election and make sure you are counted in the 2020 census to secure federal funding for our schools, roads, Medicaid, and Medicare health programs. In support of Tucson's Hispanic Voices, please make sure to support our sponsors, MPG Tire and Auto, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle, Nova Home Loans, the best combination of rates, fees, and services since 1980, the law office of Natalie H. Haywood. She's more than just a criminal defense attorney, she's an advocate for human rights. And theme music, composed by local guitarist Gabriel Francisco Romo. That does it for this week's Tucson's Hispanic Voices. Tune in every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 right here on KBOY 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Nunez. See you on the radio next week.